Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network, and this is Sister to Sister for this Wednesday, June 16th, 2021. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you have all joined me here tonight, and let us begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get down to talking about the greatest dad of all. Amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, just asking that you empty me of self, step into my body of clay, Lord God, and just have your way. Hallelujah. Use me, Father God, to uplift and instruct and encourage your people, Father God. And if somebody does not know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray that tonight will be the night that they will change their eternal address, making Jesus their Lord and Savior, and you their eternal Father. It is in Jesus' name that I pray all things. Amen, and I give you all the glory, Lord. Well, thanks to God, here at Sister to Sister, we're going to join in the festivities because this Sunday is Father's Day. But now here at the Spirit Alive Network, we remember and recognize the importance of fathers every day, because in honoring the men of our ministry, we also honor our Father God, the greatest dad of all. However, all of us need to know and understand that even the best earthly fathers can't give us everything we need. But when God, the perfect Father, becomes our Father, all that changes. Because he can and will give us everything that we need according to his riches and glory. And he also gives us the desires of our heart when we trust him and commit our ways to him. You see, he has the power, the wisdom, and the sole authority over our lives to ensure that we have the very best of everything according to his perfect will and his pleasure. But now, if you have wounds in your life because of a less than perfect father, I want you to know to be encouraged, and you are not alone. For over the past 32 years, I've been ministering to women and men and couples and boys and girls, and I've heard the stories about absentee fathers, abusive fathers, emotionally distant fathers, demanding fathers, controlling fathers. And all of that can have a negative impact on our perception of what our Heavenly Father is. So tonight, keeping our young people that are in our chat rooms in mind, I want to remind us all about the greatest dad of all and how we can experience him in a way that we will celebrate Father's Day each and every day. I also want to share this teaching because I know that someone may find it hard to believe that the creator of all heaven and earth is really our Father. Some of you may be thinking, if my earthly father, who was at least known by my mother, didn't love me enough to bother sticking around, how am I supposed to believe that God, who I have never seen, sees himself as my Father? Well, I'm so glad that you ask, and you are definitely in the right Bible study tonight here on Sister to Sister. You see, in Christianity, God is known as God the Father. He's God our Father. And he is also God the Father of Jesus. And it is through these truths of a relationship with our Creator that God is seen as Father over all creation. And when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior by faith, God becomes our Heavenly Father through grace. Now, Scripture says that God's ways are perfect. That's what it says in Psalm 18 and 30, and that he is a faithful God who does no wrong, and he is upright and just, as recorded in Deuteronomy 32 and 4. So you see, that makes him the perfect father that you or I may have never had. Now, if you didn't have a father who was approachable, loving, or always had your very best in mind, I came to tell someone tonight that God as our Heavenly Father, as your Heavenly Father, is waiting to more than make up for all that you have never had. So tonight I want us to take a look at some scriptures and see what it has to say about God being our Father. And then I want to share with us some ways that we can experience him personally on a daily basis as our Father. Now, scripture is filled with references to God as our Father. In 1 Corinthians 8:6, we see, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist." Hallelujah. See, we exist because he created us. We come from him. In Ephesians 4:6, we are told, "One God and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Again, he's our Father. Psalm 68:5 says he's the Father of the fatherless and protector of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. And Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. And we are the work of your hand." Hallelujah. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." Hallelujah. Yeah. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And as I taught on Sunday, Abba means Daddy God. Hallelujah. Daddy Father. Hallelujah. Daddy God. It's an affectionate name for our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, and in John 14:6, we see Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me." Hallelujah. And then in 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." So as you can see, scripture makes it very, very clear that God is indeed our Heavenly Father. He is our perfect Father. Also, the scripture makes it very clear that God is the literal Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. And now I want to take a look, a few verses that highlight this remarkable relationship, and I want us to look at what it means for us. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." That's Ephesians 1:3. And then in John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then one of the greatest, one of the most quoted scriptures of all, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And of course, that is John 3:16. And then we see, let's look at a few others. In John 14:10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work." So even Jesus, he's recognizing, he's declaring that God is his Father. And in 1 John 4:4, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." Hallelujah. And then in Matthew 11:27, Jesus says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then in Matthew 3:17, "And when Jesus was baptized," we all know this, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. And then Jesus said to his disciples, right before his departure, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? So you see, God is our Father. God is the Father of God, Jesus, God the Son. Hallelujah. But there is a way that we can be sure to experience God the Father each and every day of your lives. And it's a way that to have a fulfilling relationship with him that will really bless you in so many ways. If we just remember a few things about our Father. One, we need to remember that his patience and his kindness, they never run out. You know, I know some of us have felt like we have worked our Father's last good nerve. Sometimes some of us, you know, we feel like, you know, we can do no right. We can't do anything to please our Father, you know. But you see, we need to praise God for the greatest dad of all, because we don't have to worry about overextending our Heavenly Father. Psalms 103:17 says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. And Psalms 106:1 says, for he is good, his love endures forever. That means that not only does our perfect Father, the greatest dad of all time, has patience that never wears out, but his ability to forgive us never wears out or wanes either. Because Psalm 103:12 assures us, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That means our Heavenly Father, he doesn't hold a grudge. He's not sitting up there just waiting on us to mess up again so he can hold our past against us. He's not, he's not keeping account of that. But he's sitting up there patiently and lovingly leading us and directing us in the ways that we should go. Well, especially when we go to him and we repent, because the word of God says that we confess our sin. Hallelujah. He is just and righteous, and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Therefore, there is never a time when we can approach our dad, because he is the greatest dad of all. You see, God never has a bad day. He's never in a sour mood. You know, he's never too busy. He never gets distracted, you know, by video games or television or news reports or stock market reports. Nope. When we are in a relationship with his son, King Jesus, we have complete access to the Father's ear and his heart and his focused attention. Hebrews 4:16 tells us we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So even when we fall short, even when we're not faithful, the greatest dad of all times is, and he's always approachable. Furthermore, Psalms 121:3 tells us that God will not let our feet slip because he never slumbers. And in Psalms 138:3, David saying, when I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me, letting us know that God is never too busy to hear our cries and come to our rescue. God is no different than a diligent and loving mother. You ever seen a mother hear herself sitting somewhere and her child gets out of her sight for a second and that child hollers? That mother would jump up and go run and see to her child. Well, that's the way God is. I don't care what he's doing. When he hears one of his kids, he be like, what? Yes, I'm right here. I'm here, and I'm at the rescue. And you know the one most wonderful thing about the greatest dad of all time? We never have to earn his love. Now, I know some of us may have failed at one time, or some of us may be feeling right now that we have to earn an earthly father's love and respect by accomplishing stuff and doing great things to make him proud of us. Well, I'm so glad that our father, the perfect father, the most loving father, is not like that. You see, Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, while we were still sinners, while we were still blowing it, while we were still not measuring up, while we were still oblivious to him and his love, he sent his son to die for you and to die for me. Now, that is an unconditional, sacrificial love that God the Father has for us. And it is unlike anything that we could ever experience on this earth. God chose to love us, and we didn't do a thing to earn it. And since we can't do a thing to earn it, we can't do a thing to lose it. You see, Romans 8:38-39 tells us, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus, Christ Jesus our Lord. Ha! In other words, no circumstance, seen or unseen power, person, action or inaction on our part can separate us from God's love. Now, you know what? That's powerful. And that is a promise that only our Heavenly Father has the power to fulfill. Every single person on this earth who claims to love you and never leave you will still be separated from you, at least temporarily, through their death or yours. Ha! But God's word promises that even in death, there is no separation from God's love. Not now, not ever. Isn't that a God, a perfect father, the greatest father of all? Only the greatest father of all would love us like that. Think about us like that. Because only a perfect father has our very best interest in mind all the time. See, it's natural for humans to be selfish, and you know, some of us want to consider ourselves before anyone else. So if you had a dad who was unselfish or unwilling to sacrifice anything for you, well, you know, I'm sorry. But if you had a beautiful, unselfish dad who was willing to sacrifice for you, who was always looking out for your best interest, who was always there with some good advice or there to just lead you, direct you, or help you out financially, whatever the need was, then you had a gift because you had a glimpse of what our Heavenly Father is like. You see, Scripture tells us, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Hallelujah. Now, you know that's love. When he didn't even give up his own, he didn't even withhold his own son for us. And in Matthew 7:11, Jesus said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him? God not only has the ability to give us anything we desire, as long as it's good for us, he also knows our situation down the road, and he knows what will be best in the long run, as well as for all of eternity. And sometimes, saints, I know some of you might have a hard time with this. God has to love us enough to discipline us. He has to chasten us, you know. And I know that some of you might have had a father that disciplined you out of anger rather than love, but God's word says in Proverbs 3:11-12, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Scripture also says, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. That's Proverbs 13:24. Have you ever had God refuse to give you something or take something away from you that you love? Well, trust this. Trust that he was either protecting you from something, or he was disciplining you out of love, or he was doing both. Hallelujah. I always tell people some of the best things that God does is for us is unanswered prayer. Or, you know, not giving us that thing that we keep bugging him about, because we would not be prepared to know what to do with it even if he gave it to us. So he knows. You know, he sees the future. You know, when we get to the future, he's already there. So he knows how we would react. So that's why his timing is perfect. God doesn't make any mistakes, and he doesn't forget. And unlike human fathers, his timing is always perfect. When he withholds something from us, it's not necessarily because he's angry or he's punishing us or he's just not listening to our heart. No. Scripture tells us in Psalm 84:11, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So if you're walking uprightly and you're asking God for a good thing and he's not delivering it, either it isn't truly for your good for you, or it just isn't time. So trust him. Trust what he knows. Trust his timing. And trust the process he's allowing you to go through. He knows how to give good gifts at just the right time. So maybe he needs to prepare your heart, you know, to receive. Maybe he needs to remove some things from you so that you can walk humbly and graciously in what he's about to do for you. You know, God has to sometimes prepare us to receive a blessing, because, see, when he gives generously, especially his wisdom. Did you ever have a father that would held back in any way? You know? Or did you have a father who only gave you advice when you applied it the last time he doled it out, or who only gave you the bare minimum of what you needed, or not even that, wasn't even there to teach you anything? You know? Well, our Heavenly Father isn't like that. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. What that means is we have a God that if we don't understand something, we can go to him and we can talk to him and we can ask him, you know, and he will be right there. He doesn't say, you know, to us, well, I gave you wisdom before and you didn't use it. I'm not giving you anymore. No, no, no. God will just give us wisdom, because, see, he wants us to get it. He wants us to gain revelation through his holy word. He wants us to come to know him better. So he wants to give us that wisdom so that we might have that discernment and that knowledge and that understanding to walk as his children. Hallelujah. You know, because believe it or not, he lets us make our own choices. God is not sitting up in heaven, you know, treating us like we're puppets. Now, you know, he has some expectations, true, but he doesn't disown us, or he doesn't throw us away when we don't do exactly what he says. You see, he's a wise and loving and patient father. He'll wait. But while he's waiting, he's going to cause all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, according to Romans 8 and 28. That means when we fall short and we go to God and we repent, and then we get back on his plan, you know, we're going to find out that not only was his plan what he wanted, it's what we wanted all along too. And believe it or not, he'll use every mistake. He'll take every wound and turn that wound into wisdom. He'll take every mistake and use it for our good so that we can walk uprightly and we can utilize and have access to everything he gave us in abundance. Why? Because he knows us intimately. He created us. He knows us better than anybody else. You know, because that's why he made one of the deepest needs of the human race to be intimately known. But yet, sometimes, although we have this great need, we still hide who we really are out of fear of rejection or that someone may lose interest in us when they discover what we're really like. You know, but praise God. We belong to the greatest dad of all. We belong to a perfect father. And he knows everything about us and loves us anyway. He's working with what we are. And he's molding us into whom we need to become. In Psalm 139, David said, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Huh. God knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our words before we say them. And he knows our actions before we carry them out. And he knows why we're doing it all. And even though he has all that intimate knowledge of us, he continues to love us. So when you think about having a dad who is indeed perfect, but loves us who are imperfect in our brokenness, whose kindness and patience, excuse me, never runs out. Somebody needs to shut up. When we think about even in our brokenness, in our woundedness, in our sin, when we fall short, even when we are not faithful, we serve a God who is faithful. We have the greatest daddy of all because he is always approachable. He is always there to love us and pick us up and, you know, wash us, you know, put a Band-Aid on it or, you know, work us through that problem. Kiss the boo-boo and send us on our way. I praise him that he, the perfect father, the greatest dad of all, lets us know we can't lose his love. Hallelujah. He understands that we are in this human body. He understands that we are in flesh. And he is perfecting us. He is doing a great work in us until he returns. And we need to always remember that he has our best interest in mind. You see, what somebody needs to do today is understand when God sent his only begotten son into this world to hang, bleed, and die, he was thinking of you, and he was thinking of me. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus had not sinned, but they were thinking of you, and they were thinking of me. That's love. What greater love has a man than to lay down his life for a friend? Jesus did it for the world at the command of his Father. In obedience to his Father, we have access to the greatest dad of all. We have access to the greatest love of all. And tonight, if you don't have a relationship with the greatest dad of all, let me first introduce you to the greatest love of all, his wonderful son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died for our sin so that we might have eternal life. And if you would like to give your life to him, it's not something that you have to dress up and go out into a building and, you know, or go to a Zoom church meeting or what have you. All you have to do is bow your heart before him and ask him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sin. For you truly believe that he is the Son of the living God. And then ask him to help you to become all the kind of child that he wants you to be in him. Ask him to lead you and guide you and share his wisdom and knowledge. Ask him to teach you his ways so that you can be like him. And I guarantee you, if you just remember those things about the greatest dad of all, you will truly, really and truly celebrate Father's Day each and every day, because you can't think about Father God without celebrating. So right now, I just praise God for all of you that are here and listening. If there's anyone that would like to add a comment or put your praise on it, you're more than welcome to. If you have anyone that you would like to say Happy Father's Day to, kindly press your 1 on your keypad, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. If you are in our chat room and you would like to make a comment, if you would kindly type that comment now, I will be able to read it, and I will respond accordingly. Hallelujah. So once again, as I scroll through the studio to see if there's anyone that has anything to say, I want to just thank you again for listening. On tomorrow, we will be hosting Gap Ministries Bible Study. And then on Friday, we will be having Every Man Standing in His Place. And our guest speaker, or our speaker will be Apostle Edwin Holloway. So we just want you to continue to follow us here each and every day on the Spirit Alive Network. And remember that we have over 3,200 programs archived on Blog Talk Radio and on websites all over the globe. So you are more than welcome to go back and listen to programs as much as you like. And we would just love to hear about you or hear from you. So you're always welcome to email me. I'm on Facebook under Bishop Shirlene Cook. I'm also on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. So, you know, you can reach out to me, let me know, or you can reach out to me in my chat room and just let me know what you're thinking, because I love hearing from you. Praise God. So beloved, it seems like everybody, if there's nothing else, we can, all minds are clear. I just want to thank everybody for listening. I pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, and that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer, saints of God, that you be ye transformed. Good night, and may God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen.